On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, the Chiefs are eliminated from playoff contention, but Patrick Mahomes tears his ACL. Boy, taking a deeper dive into the Kansas City Chiefs going into 2026. Rooski game of the week, Bills come back down 21-0 and beat the Patriots. The second half monsters continue to live, and a deeper look into the NFL playoff picture with 3 weeks to go in the NFL season. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We got Justin Tucker, we got CJ Medeiros, unfortunately no Adam Wright in the back today, but that's all right. We're still going to have some fun. 3 weeks left in the NFL season. Week 15 has come and gone, and things are starting to shape out a little bit more in the playoff picture. We'll, as mentioned at the top there, we'll take a deeper dive into what the playoff picture is looking like in terms of teams that have been eliminated, teams that have clinched, teams that haven't clinched yet. And whatnot. And well, since that Mahomes and the Chiefs are our thumbnail today, we're going to start with Patrick Mahomes tearing his ACL, obviously out for the year, maybe out for the start of next season. Either way, Chiefs eliminated from playoff contention. What impeccable timing in as well, considering that with the Chiefs being eliminated, if Patrick Mahomes didn't tear his ACL, he would have had to take snaps with his team not in playoff contention, something that Brady has never done. But I think you'd still pull the card of, well, his team would still got eliminated with him. He was still playing on the day that his team was eliminated from playoff contention. Lose to the Chargers, though, 16-13, bit of a slobber knocker. We could talk about the Chargers a little bit more when we talk about the playoff picture, but that O-line looks like probably the worst O-line in the league outside of the Titans. But regardless, looking ahead to the Chiefs' future, it's not looking bright. They are 34 mil under the cap, over the cap, for next season. So they're going to have to make some they're going to have to really look into the mirror and figure out what they're going to have to do, because Kelce, he might retire. Chris Jones, he's about to be 33. He's not getting any younger. The Chiefs at this point have to start thinking about what the 2026 is going to look like. Especially when you have to also consider that you're probably not going to have Mahomes for the start of the season. There's a good chance that he has a huge comeback. He's able to rehab like a motherfucker, and he's back for the second week of September. So who knows? Thoughts around the table. What are we looking at for the Chiefs here? CJ, we'll start with you.
Well, like you said, I want to open with Tom Brady's never played a snap of meaningless football, and I can already hear the Chiefs fans eating their soy and saying, actually, Mahomes never did either. Yeah, sure. He has an ACL tear to keep that from happening. Yeah, funny.
No, I'm CJ, just before you continue, actually, I saw this as well. Coincidence? I think not. Mahomes, year 9, tears his ACL. Brady tore his ACL in year 9 after winning three Super Bowls.
Well, yeah. Except for the fact when Brady did that earlier in the year and Mahomes did it later, and the team, they probably even weren't winning that game anyway, let's be honest. So it is what it is. The thing with Kansas City, and this is a take I've been sitting on, because it's like, oh, when they win, they don't matter. They remind me of what we'll call the late stage Patriots, and not in a good way. You see, one of the issues that's been plaguing Kansas City recently is is, I'm just going to say it, they've really struggled to draft lately. And you might not agree. You might even say, oh, look at you, CJ. You're a funny. You're just funny. You're salty. You're whatever. But ever since they've drafted Mahomes, they've really struggled to draft, at least on the offensive side of the ball. Credit where it's due. In 2022, you landed Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis. And 2021, you landed Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith. Outside of that, horrible. Even in Mahomes' draft class, you got a few good seasons out of Kareem Hunt, and that was it. 2018, your highlights were Breland Speaks and Derek Nnadi. 2019, Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill. Okay, not great. 2020, you got Willie Gay. Solid, although I think he's gone now. One-year wonder, Clyde Edwards-Alaire. Legarius Sneed, he's really good. Oh, wait, you traded him. And even in the McDuffie-Karlaftis draft, you got Sky Moore, who did a heaping helping of nothing. Leo Chenal is fine. Brian Cook is fine. But from there on, it's not good. You wasted a first-round pick on Felix Anadike Uzama. Rashee Rice is solid, although he just disappears for long stretches. Wanya Morris is a backup at best. Chamari Connor gets burned repeatedly. Then in 2024, Xavier Worthy, you know, it's like that meme of Mr. Bean in a field looking at his watch, just like, well, we're still waiting for you to do something. Kingsley Suamatia is a guard. You know, you thought you were getting a tackle, but just kidding, you got a guard, and he's not that good. And the rest, I couldn't even tell you. Then 2025, Josh Simmons looked good until he got injured. Gasp, you drafted an injury-prone tackle, and then he got injured. Oh, my God, who could have seen this coming? And then the rest of the team, I don't know. I'm not crazy. Or the rest of that draft class, I'm just not crazy about. So outside of, like, 2021 and 2022, they've really struggled to draft. And when I said it was, like, late-stage Patriots, these draft whiffs are now really coming back to haunt them. Their depth has been steadily depleting, and you have three people like Mahomes, Kelsey, and Chris Jones eating up most of your cap. Your offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy, let him go. He's a bum. He's a scrub. I don't even know why after last season when the wheels started shaking and kept them around, but you got to fire him now. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo's still good. Andy Reid, of course. You're not going to fire Andy Reid. Come on now. But I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. Like, I think they're going to be good because it's like when the Pats had Tom Brady. They're never, you know, they were never down, right? You know, they're never out as long as you have Brady. And it's the same principle for the Chiefs. If you have Mahomes, you're never down. But, I mean, you might be down, but you're never out. But now, Until Brett Veach, their GM, figures out how to draft again, because every so often he gets one good person, but the wide receiver whiffs are really starting to pile up. And even on defense, some of their latest picks haven't been the best. And I know that's part and parcel to picking late in the first round, meaning you're getting like the dregs of the first round talent, and I get that. But even still, like, it's left a lot to be desired. And, of course, due to their cap problem, like you mentioned, Chris, in your opening statement there, their free agency moves have been few and far between. And it's weird. They haven't been able to attract, like, high-profile free agents, you know? Like, when these hot, sexy pickups are on the market, they're not going to Kansas City. They're not even taking reduced deals to play in Kansas City. So, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I said, as long as they have Mahomes, they'll be fine in some capacity. But frankly, it's not over. But forget 2026. You might have to start thinking about 2027 because things like ACL tears and Achilles, when they happen, when they're late season injuries, you could almost put money on Mahomes isn't going to be ready for week one. If he is, then you do that urine test on him. But right now, it's just, I would just say enjoy Cancun, man. Like, oh, by the way, one more thing. Tom Brady, you know, when we mentioned, you know, was eliminated from the playoffs, this was his second season, right? He was out on tiebreaker, but he never played a snap in meaningless football, went all the way to week 17 because, you know, we only had 17 weeks back then, 2002. That was 2002 season. I think that because of this season, and Mahomes would have faced elimination even if he had stayed healthy. Honestly, Chris and Tuck, he's probably not going to surpass Brady as the GOAT now. This is damn. Oh, by the way, our friend Adam Wright said, ooh, I wouldn't go that far. Hey, Adams, since I know you go back and listen to these episodes, I got that take from you, idiot. Eat your own words. But no, it's true. Like, this is going to be another knock against Mahomes when you stack him up against Brady. This season's going to hurt him a lot.
100%.
No, don't you give this nonsense to me, Justin.
This is nasty.
This is going to hurt a lot. Like, this season's going to do a lot of damage. And the fact that he's been blown out in two Super Bowls is also going to hurt him. But not just loss. All of Brady's Super Bowl losses were one score. Mahomes got blown out. Oh, and one of them was to Brady himself. So I'm not going to lie. I think the distance between Mahomes and Brady is a lot, especially now, is a lot larger than a lot of people looking at you, Nick Wright. Think so. I hate Nick Wright. Call me Nick Wrong. He's a bum. But yeah, I'm just saying.
You have me defending Patrick Mahomes. I can't believe you've had me doing this. You are literally kicking a man while he's down. You are literally kicking a man while he's down.
I guess
how are you doing this right now? I don't know. He just lost his ACL yesterday, and you're telling him he can't be the GOAT because he. No, I can't have this. I cannot. I'm not allowing this. If you want to get this, if you want to get this take off next year, I'm all for it. Don't get it off the day after the man goes down with the ACL injury. He could have won that game yesterday because they were moving the ball down the field. We're not having this take if they win yesterday. At the end of the season, if they're eliminated, yes, you can have this. Not today, after the man literally loses his ACL. I can't let you get this off.
I guess he's not letting me get this off. I don't know. What do you guys think?
This is
sounds like he got it off already. He's just,
it's too late. I can't.
How look, it is too late. Thank you. Steve Tuck said it's too late.
We talked about it. We talked about it yesterday.
And like, look, like it took 15 or 16 years for people to, outside of Patriots fans, to say Brady was the GOAT. And it's going to take longer for people to say Mahomes is the GOAT, because that's how long it took for fans to say, or for people to say, Brady's the GOAT. So we still have quite a number of years before we even like consider that. But yeah,
I'm just saying right now, this is going to hurt him in the grand calculus.
Yeah.
Unless you're Tuck. See, Tuck doesn't agree. He, you know, and the only reason he's the GOAT or not,
I'm saying right now, right now we're going to do this. I don't think he's the GOAT at all.
I just did. Like, it's the cat is out of the bag. What's done is done. You can whine about it, or you can hop on. You can hop on. Like, that's just the way it is.
Patrick Mahomes is not the GOAT. He has a long way to go before he's the GOAT.
And Anik and LeRoe got even longer, is all I'm saying.
We don't need to do this to this man.
All right.
They just got eliminated from the playoffs.
What do you know about the First Amendment, Tuck? I'm pretty sure I can't.
I agree that. You have free speech to it, but why do you do this to him the day after?
I'm not doing anything to him.
You're discrediting him literally as he goes down. I'm not saying he's the GOAT. He is far from that. But let's give him some grace here. They just got eliminated from the playoffs, and he'll be gone for at least 8 months, a year. I'm taking the whole next season off if I'm Patrick Mahomes. Because I do not think the Kansas City Chiefs will make enough adjustments to be better than where they were last year. They'll have more pieces. I think they'll have more players. But I don't think they'll just be inherently better if Patrick Mahomes is not 100%. And I don't think he'll be 100% next year because he's just recovering from the ACL. I think he'll come back towards the tail end of the season, but not in the beginning where it matters the most.
I think you guys are really wildly discrediting how fast you can come back from a torn ACL.
You can come back and play, but I don't think he'll
play the same level. These late season injuries are killers, bro.
I mean, the timetable of a torn ACL is anywhere from 6 months to a year. And if we're going to split it in the middle, he's back by September. Like, he would be back by week one of next year.
But is my thing is, he'll be back.
Is it a good idea? Is it smart to do that?
If he's not Patrick Mahomes, I don't want him back.
Well, I know. Like, fucking Adrian Peterson tore his ACL and then came back and won MVP the next year. And that was.
All right. When did he do it, though?
Pretty sure that was late.
What week? Because with all due respect,
December 24th.
2011.
And then next year proceeded to win MVP and he was back for week one.
I'll give you that. But
would you risk it for Patrick Mahomes though if he's not Patrick Mahomes?
Yes.
Low key, no.
If he doesn't look like himself, I wouldn't risk it.
If he tore everything in his fucking knee, then yeah, obviously I'm having him sit for the entirety of next year. But like, it's also like, it's torn ACL. Like, it's not like we're talking about torn Achilles here.
Fair enough. Maybe we're over exaggerating.
I think you guys are.
Anything else you want to talk about from this?
I think we touched on everything from the fact that they're in like kind of cap hell, and yeah, and what the hell are you going to do about next season? Yeah. Of course, Mahomes' legacy, of course. We'll step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the Ruski game of the week. And this is the
Full Ruski podcast. I don't know what that is.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Ruski podcast. Get into our Ruski game of the week. Bills come back down 21-0 and beat the Patriots 35-31. Oh, that really hurt to get that out. That really hurt.
Oh,
I know on Friday I said that I wasn't going to be mad if we lost. I'd be probably depressed. I'd probably be a little disappointed, but I'd keep my I'm still keeping my hopes up. You know, the Pats are 11-3. They're 11-3, right? But I think the best way to really describe this is that the shit we were getting away with during the 10-game win streak, we didn't get away with on Sunday. I mean the Patriots. Yeah, I'm wearing the Patriots hat right now. I'm still a firm believer in Drake May. Did he have his greatest performance? No, he didn't have the greatest performance. And I don't know what it is. That obviously there's like still a lot of issues with the, like, I would still rather be at 11-3 than the other 30 fucking teams in the league or whoever else is 11-3 or whatever, or 12-2, 13-2, whatever, wherever the hell we're at now. Patriots had a chance to clinch the AFC East with a win. They weren't able to do so. They went up 21-0 pretty immediately. In the first half, it seemed like it was going to be all guns a-blazing. And then all of a sudden, right before the second half, CBS flashes the graphic. Patriots, third in the NFL in scoring margin in the first half. The Bills, plus 95 scoring margin in the second half, leads the NFL. And Lord, did that graphic have some foreshadowing. Because the Bills proceeded to outscore the Patriots in the second half, 28-7. Crazy enough, too, 5 straight drives where the Patriots allowed touchdowns. CJ compared it to the AFC wildcard game from 2021, where the Bills literally scored on every single drive, which I would agree with, especially because I was fucking there for it and had to witness that. Look, that like you could talk about ref ball all you want. There was some shit calls that I really was tearing my hair out over. But at the end of the shit, Mike Vrabel even said it on 98.5 today, or not 98.5. I think he just said it in the Monday morning press conference. It was like, you know, I The Bills are lead the league in offensive holdings, and they didn't get called for a single one. Don't know. I don't know. And then, of course, you know, you have someone on Twitter saying that the first matchup, the referees favored the Patriots by 0.6 points, plus 0.6 points. And in the game on Sunday, favored the Bills by plus 8.6. All right, that's enough rough ball talk out of me. Fact of the matter is the Patriots have the worst red zone. Like, they have a great defense when they're not in the red zone, but this has been a problem all season long, and it's really just coming to light week 15 because the Patriots lose to the Bills. This really has been a problem all year long. Like, every single time a team gets into the red zone, you can almost count on them scoring on the Patriots. Other than that, if we're talking Patriots playing defense from the 50-yard line, they're freaking nails. Other than that, it's nothing. Either way, Patriots still hold the AFC East, but now they have a tough game against the Ravens next Sunday on Sunday Night Football, since that just got flexed. NFL MVP odds now have Matt Stafford in the lead after their win against the Lions at minus 300. Drake May's at plus 425, and Josh Allen moves up to plus 550. All right, CJ, fellow Pats fan.
This is a game where I think, unless you're Adam, who, look, he's not here, but you're going to hear it from me, and he's not going to be bitching in my ear, because one of the things about Adam is that he loves to be contrarian just for the sake of it, because he exclusively consumes the media slop that is 98.5 and their Pats haters, but whatever. The problem, look, this is a thing where two things can be true at once, where ref ball and the Pats allowing five straight touchdowns. Look, what the hell is going on? And this is one of the reasons where the haters, you know, you have these crayon munchers and glue eaters. They're like, 300 yards in the game, man. And I'm like, because we don't let him do that. Every time we're in the fourth quarter, I'm like, let him stat pad. Most quarterbacks, if not for stat padding, wouldn't even have 300 yards. You don't get that unless you're in a shootout or an utter rout. And completely off topic, Chris, you do something about your camera, because, like, I don't know if you see it. The sun
is I'll fix that.
That was about it. But yeah, no.
Because it's kind of nice to look at.
Here's what they do. They open up fast, right? They open up fast, and they beat the living snot out of teams, and then they play conservative in the second half. And it's very Belichickian what they did. This year, in so many uncomfortable facets, reminds me of 2021, where the Patriots would get up, and then they would just sit on the ball. Dinks and dunks, runs up the gut that go nowhere, shell defense, prevent defense, the evil soft zone. Like, I see this, and I'm like, why? Why are we running shell defense? Why are we running soft zone? Why are you just trying to sit on the ball? You had your foot on their neck. You don't take your foot off the gas. You put your foot down on their neck until you hear that satisfying crunch. But five touchdowns, that's some evil, that is bad business. And look, the Patriots were missing Milton Williams, right? They missed him bad. Like, the run defense is night and day without him. And it gets even worse. Do you know what gets even worse? In the first 3 weeks, they were 1-2 without Christian Gonzalez. Look, outside of a quarterback, you should never be at a point in the season where missing one player makes a difference between an aspect of your game being good or bad. If one player, once again, outside a quarterback, that's different, stands between your offense or defense being good or bad, then you're just not very well built. The defense is a glass cannon. Like, the fact that they struggle to win games, or they just struggle in general without one of the, even if it's a star, like, the fact that it's an actual night and day difference is, it's actually terrifying. honest to God, it's terrifying. And yeah, look, I know the Bills got away with holding. I saw one of Josh Allen's big runs. They were literally choking out Harold Landry. And they try to explain it away like, oh, Calaibon Chaisson ripped into the offensive line and that makes it okay. It's like, well, does he have a fistful of jersey outside of the shoulders? Yes, that's flag. Don't try to explain it away. But the worst part was ref ball, while not the biggest part of it, it does have a space in the conversation. Once again, unless you're Adam, but he's not here, so whatever. I'm sure he'll bitch at me later. But here's the thing, okay? The Bills had two touchdowns gift wrapped to them. First, Josh Allen threw an interception that was ruled a catch, you know, because equal possession, which, by the way, I found a picture of it. The Bills receiver, I think it was Khalil Shakir, didn't even have his hands on the ball. And then it was called a phantom PI. Even though Marcus Jones turned his head around and stuck out his arm to play the ball. When you play the ball, it's not PI. Then the Patriots got the Bills off the field on a third and long, and they called it pass interference because Carlton Davis grabbed Keon Coleman's hip. But the thing is, you're allowed to grab. The rule is, did you hinder the receiver from getting to the ball? Keon Coleman got his hands on the ball and didn't catch it. So by definition, that is not PI. And then, of course, they just decide to do the old Mr. Magoo blind act where when you have Tre'Davious White, who's practically molesting Mac Hollins, literally has his arm twisted for an interception. And I'm screaming my TV, throw the flag. How is all of these other penalties PI, but that specifically isn't? Like, I'm sorry. The refs gift wrapped the Bills two touchdowns. The Patriots got them off the field. Josh Allen threw a pick, and they just said no. This game was even worse officiated than the Pats-Saints game, and we all saw how bad that was. But look. It wouldn't have to be this way if you didn't take your foot off the gas. Let Drake May stat pad. Let him air it out. Let him get his 300 yards.
Let him play an ethical ball.
They go hand in hand. Do they not? And everyone's like, oh, they don't get him. Like, they don't let him stat pad. They don't let him keep throwing when they're up. And against the Bills, who are the best second half team in the league, you played conservative. And by the time it was 21-24, the Bills were awake. Momentum had already shifted. And now you have to all of a sudden just snap out of sleep mode. Like, I can't believe Mike Vrabel got outcoached by Sean McDermott, who we all agree is overrated, and the Bills are probably never going to win a Super Bowl while he's a head coach. Like, that is disgusting. And you know what the worst part is? I'm sorry. This is 2021 all over again. This season is giving me 2021 PTSD. Oh, a good, scrappy young team goes on an amazing winning streak and gets punched in the mouth. Then you know what's going to happen. They're probably going to lose to Baltimore. Miami's probably going to win because we can never sweep Miami for some goddamn reason. And then we'll probably beat the Jets. We're strong throughout the year. Then we sputter in December and they skid into the playoffs where they're put out of their misery round one. And you know what's worse? Blowing that 21-0 lead, this is the type of game, right? This is the type of game that kills seasons. This weighs on you mentally. This is going to be a mental thing. The mental toughness of the Pats is about to be tested. And in the past, even with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick-led teams, the mental toughness test is a test they have failed. It happened in 2015, where they were on an insane win streak. The Denver Broncos punched them in the mouth, and they completely fell apart. Although you could argue that season especially was more due to injuries, which that season, we don't talk about that. Everyone was on IR then. 2019, insane win streak, punched in the mouth by the Ravens, complete collapse out in round one. 2021, start out slow, 7 or 8 game win streak, punched in the mouth by the Colts, complete collapse out round one. To quote that one dude from Squid Game, I've played these games before. I have seen this movie before. This is 2021. The haters are right. It's the schedule. We're frauds. Like, I just wanted them to win a playoff game. But no, this is the kind of game that kills your season. This is a season-changing game. In the way that a win to the Bills probably changed the trajectory of the season, a loss, honest to God, I could see them going in their final four games. There's a real shot they go 1-3. And then they're just going to skitter in the playoffs and lose round.
Never mind. Sorry.
What?
I was going to correct you, but you were referring to the Bills game. Keep going.
Yeah, no. Kind of like how the first Bills game, that was a game changer. This one's a game changer in the bad direction. These kinds of games where you're up and you blow it, what we call a punch in the mouth kind of game, this ends seasons. And this may, like I said, the mental toughness of New England is about to be tested. And even this is a test, like I said, even Brady teams have failed. Because you know what? Because look, the vibes around the Pats right now at an all-time low. And like I said, you saw what happened in 2021 when they lost to the Colts. They didn't rebound. They curled up into a ball. They were just glum. They went out there. The pendulum swung from one way to another. They were high on their own supply to just completely doubting themselves. They were just glum. The energy was gone. They got down. They're just like, oh, we're not that good. And they curled up into a ball until they lost in the playoffs. And honestly, I can see that happening again. I just want them to win a playoff game. Because, look, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves because it's a rebuilding year.
I think you're really getting – I think this is a bit of an overreaction. Not that – I'm not even –
I've seen this movie three times in my life. I know how this ends.
I think it's more that, like, you're getting high hopes over a potential Super Bowl run when really, like, you should be, like, hey,
Super Bowl run. I just want them to win a playoff game. That's all I want.
And who says that they can win a playoff game? They're on the verge of having a top two seed in the AFC right now. And this is like, you had a 10-game winning streak that just snapped. Not all winning streaks are
but it's the thing is, if this were a shootout, like they were just trading scores until the very end, I would have been fine. But this collapse, what that does to a team mentally, like I said, this is the potential to just completely derail their season. And it has before.
I don't know. We said the same thing.
Historically, with Brady and Belichick, it has. So, like I said, I can only go off history. And
we can go off history, but the 2021
team wasn't good. I'm Chris. Okay, then explain the other two when they were good.
It's a different era. We're in a different era now. Duck, what's your response? What's your take? CJ overreacting, or I mean, what are we looking at here from the outside Patriots? Patriots take.
From the outside looking in, I was watching the Bengals Ravens game, and I would look over every now and then because they would give us score updates, and it was like 21-7. I'm like, okay, the Patriots are getting. Are going away with this, like you guys were saying in the chat. Drake May was draking it all over the field. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's winning these games. Then all of a sudden, I was like, if I know those Bills, let's wait until the second half, and then we'll see from there. And then all of a sudden, the score just kept going up and going up and going up. And then they took the lead. I'm like, how will they respond? Travion Henderson happened. I was like, okay, they're cooking now. They're doing stuff. And then Josh Allen said, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. And then I think James Cook took the ball and scored again to take the lead again.
He had three total touchdowns.
Yes. And then after the Ravens game was over, I tuned in to watch the Patriots and Bills game to get the final moments of it. And it was before the two-minute warning, and the Patriots get the ball back. I was like, okay, Drake May, Coach Vrabel, show me something. Because you have the two-minute warning to work with, and you have four downs to get this. If you don't get this, the game is almost effectively over because they can just run the ball out and game over. And they had four opportunities. They didn't get it in those four opportunities. And it was like, damn, if only they stopped them. And they did have three timeouts, but it's like at this point in time, they're already in field goal range. They absolutely have to settle for a field goal. And it was just – I don't know how. I believe the Patriots have a lot of things going for them, but when they play conservative, this things like this tends to happen to them because this isn't the only time this has happened to them. They just came out on the other side fine. They just won. For an example, like Miami, they had this happen before in the past. Miami starts to come back, and then the Patriots pull it off in the end. They just didn't pull it off this time against the Bills, who you absolutely cannot be conservative against because the moment you start thinking in your head, they will come back on you. And it's all of a sudden, it's like an avalanche, and you need to figure out how to survive that. You guys were able to beat them the first go around. I thought this game was going to be a lot tougher. I'm not going to go overreaction with CJ, but I understand his points. I understand why he feels like the refs played a factor in it, and I understand that point blank period, you cannot allow five straight scoring drops. You just can't do that against Buffalo. You'll lose the game. So if they just adjust a few things here and there, they're still a fairly good team. But I will say is this, you don't want to be the two seed because right now it's the Texans that have the two seed. I mean, the seven seed. You don't want to face that Texans defense right now when it's healthy. So as much as I'm like, oh my God, the Patriots, it's not a bad loss, but this was a concerning loss. I wouldn't say this is the turnaround game because the Bills are a good team. If it wasn't for the Patriots being as good as they are this year, they'd probably still be an AFC East champion. So I think this isn't too big a concern, but this is something to worry about. I don't think you should allow Drake May to be conservative. I think you should allow him to throw the ball more. I think you should allow him to do more things. And if you play conservative against the Bills and they make those adjustments, you have to adjust with them sooner rather than later. So I don't know. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think the Patriots still have a chance, but it's going to be an uphill battle. And I do think they can beat the Texans, and I think they can beat everyone in the AFC. I think they can beat everyone in the AFC, but it will be a problem if they allow things like what happened yesterday to happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like last play of the game, you can't have receivers running into each other. Like there's an example right there. And it's like, I don't think this is the end all be all, like, and this type of loss is going to derail the season. Like CJ says, like we literally said that about the Jaguars and now they're 10-4 mm-hmm. and at the top of the AFC South. And this is all like, it's the Mike Vrabel era. Like the Titans in 2021 also had a heart stopping loss like this. And they still ended up being, getting the first round bye. Granted, they were eliminated in that first round, but the point stands. All right. Anything else we want to touch on from this game? I mean, we're probably going to end up touching on it a little bit, these two teams a little bit more when we get into the talk about the playoff picture as a whole, which is what we're going to get into after the break, along with breaking news, Micah Parsons confirmed torn ACL. Mm-hmm. And how's that shape out the NFC North? This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Time to talk NFL playoff picture. 3 games left in the NFL season. And things are starting to shape out a little bit more. Got some more teams eliminated on the AFC side. The Chiefs and the Bengals both being eliminated. We were talking about the Chiefs earlier getting eliminated via a loss to the Chargers, along with the Texans and Bills winning. The Bengals getting eliminated via their shut out by the Ravens. Talk about the AFC North in a second. But looking at the NFC side of things, Falcons been eliminated, Vikings eliminated, even with the win to the Cowboys. There was just other teams that ended up getting the job done. But as it stands right now, Rams have the top spot in the NFC with the Bears in second, Eagles in third, Bucks barely holding on to the 4 spot, Seahawks in fifth, 49ers in sixth, Packers in seventh, Lions, Panthers, Cowboys on the outside looking in. On the AFC side, the Broncos, Pats, Jaguars, Steelers round out the top four. Chargers, Bills, Texans are your wildcard teams in that order. Colts, Ravens, Dolphins outside looking in. And Dolphins, they won't be eliminated from playoff contention with a loss tonight against the Steelers, which we'll be talking about towards the end of the show. But they'll also be a game back from the Baltimore Ravens, or actually, scratch that, they would be eliminated. I was looking at the Ravens as if they were in a wild card spot as of right now. But Dolphins, if they lose, they're eliminated. So that's what we're looking at right now. Mentioned Micah Parsons tearing his ACL. Tore it on Sunday in the game against the Broncos, and they ended up losing to the Broncos as well. So that gives the NFC North to the Bears once again, with the Packers at 9-4-1, especially after the Packers got done beating the Bears last week. And now the Packers will now have to go to Soldier Field to take on the Bears on Saturday night for a Week 16 matchup. But in terms of keeping it to the Packers real quick, definitely not what you're looking for, especially with Parsons. You know, he was having, if Myles Garrett didn't exist, Micah Parsons would be having a defense player of the year type. He is having a defense player of the year type of season, or was. Mm-hmm. Myles Garrett just exists. But this is a huge loss for the Packers.
Yeah.
Massive, massive loss. How does this affect the Packers as a whole and the rest of the NFC North race? With the Bears getting right against the Browns, Lions also losing a shootout to the Rams. Tuck, start with you.
As far as the NFC North race is concerned, it gives, I guess, a little bit more, it takes a little bit of pressure off the Bears in the sense that they don't have Michael Parsons there to generate pressure on Caleb Williams when they have to face each other again. So I think Caleb Williams may actually play better than he did the last time. So that is, unfortunately, a bit of a reprieve for the Chicago Bears. I still think, regardless of whether or not Michael Parsons is there or not, they still have to face Toyota-thon himself, Jordan Love. And he looked like a stud in the first half, but then that Denver defense shut that thing down in the second half. Are the Chicago Bears good enough to do that to Jordan Love in this game? That's something we have to find out. I think it will be difficult. I think the Chicago Bears are fully capable of it, but will they be able to do it? I'm a little bit iffy on it. I think I'll come to a decision when it's time to make our game picks, but I could see this game going either or, especially the way the last game went. Right now, I'm still leaning towards the Packers because depending on the health of that offense, I trust that offense more than Caleb Williams in that offense, so I'd lean more towards the Packers. But again, if Christian Watson isn't healthy, then I might have to change my mind. So that's where I'm at in the NFC. As far as the NFC North race is concerned, I think the Bears are right behind the Packers. I think they're trailing their heels, but I need to see like what the injury report is for the Packers before I'm like convinced they can beat the Bears.
CJ?
Oh man, this might be a bit of a harsh term to use, but in large part, the Packers defense just got defanged, essentially, because, you know, Parsons is good. You also have Rashawn Gary, right? But Now you're just free to double team Rashawn Gary with little to no consequence. I mean, sure, you got to worry about big Devontae Wyatt up the middle, but that's pretty much it. I mean, Luka Van Ness, former first-round pick out of, I think, what, Iowa or somewhere, some Midwestern-type place, or Missouri, he's not really that big of a deal. So the scariest part of the Green Bay defense is gone. Like I said, they've been defanged. That's just how it is. And I just want to see like what changes, because without that elite pass rush from Parsons, which also frees up Rashawn Gary to get home, because, you know, usually you just double team Gary, who's a really good pass rusher in his own right, but now, but you know, Parsons is on another planet, right? So with that, now that puts a lot of pressure on the back four, or five, you know, depending on the scheme, where now you're going to have to really, and I mean really, try to play like a better form of coverage because their back four isn't great. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, they're solid, but we're not looking at the Legion of Boom. You know, they don't have Revis Island or Primetime back there. I mean, like I said, they're fine. Like, Keyshawn Nixon's fine. I mean, their safety there, whose name escapes me, they got him from the Giants, is also
Xavier McKinney.
McKinney, thank you. He's also really good, but especially going against the Bears attack that features guys like Odunze and Moore and Loveland and DeAndre Swift and Rutgers legend Kyle Manungai out of the backfield.
That's if Odunze plays. He hasn't played the last few games.
True, but I was kind of expecting him to play. Like, he should.
Should.
But you never know. That's what I meant. But, you know, I was assuming he would, but hey, that was wrong of me. That was wrong of me. I'm sorry. But either way, it's still iffy, right? So overall, a lot of pressure is going to be on the offense. You can't have another collapse like you did against Denver. You want to talk about collapsing? That, like I said, the Denver defense, they're just clamps. I mean, they weren't even playing conservative like New England was. It was just clamps the rest of the way. Denver defense woke up and said, oh, yeah, we're playing in Mile High. And they took the engine out of Toyota-thon and left it stranded on the side of the road. That's just how it was. If you're Jordan Love, you got to look to the great Packer leaders of Pats. Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. This is where they'd really dig in, win out, and drag their team to the postseason. If Aaron Rodgers could drag Mike McCarthy to a Super Bowl, then Jordan Love can drag a Micah Parsons-less defense to the NFC North title. But if he doesn't and they just end up flaming out, we might need to have a really uncomfortable conversation about Jordan Love.
Potentially. Maybe.
Well, I mean, if he's putting up four touchdown games and the defense collapses, that's one thing. But if he turns into a pumpkin when they need him most, you know?
Yeah, like, he threw two interceptions on Sunday. So it's not even like trying to invalidate your point. Like, I definitely agree. One word answer: who wins the NFC North?
Packers.
Part of me is feeling the Bears.
But like, by a tilt margin, by a tilt margin, like, we're talking like less than 0.5%. Like, we're going to need a recount. Like, that's how close it is.
Yeah. We can reconfigure after week 16. But keeping it in the NFC.
Packers.
Yeah.
I just looked at the Bears schedule. They got the 49ers, the Lions, and.
Oh, yeah, Packers. That's a gauntlet. Oh,
yeah. Packers have Ravens and Vikings afterwards.
The Packers have the easier schedule, so I'm going Packers here.
Yeah. All right, NFC West. 49ers and Rams both put up 40 points and wins. Seahawks squeak out a win against the Phillip Rivers-led Colts. We'll talk about the Colts in a second. Because I want to talk about the AFC South, but NFC West, I mean, this continues to be the wild, wild west of all football. Right now, the Rams hold the division lead because of a tiebreaker with the Seahawks and 49ers, 6-spot, 10-4. They're right there. They are right there. Like, they're basically just waiting for one of these two teams to screw up so they can pounce at this point. It's pretty impressive how the 49ers are still alive in this season. But Rams and Seahawks, the most interesting part of this now is that these two teams face off Thursday night football in Seattle as well. So if the Seahawks can get a win there, then they're in a really prime position. They take over the top spot in the NFC again. But this offense just been very weird recently. And especially when you look at this game against the Colts, a Colts team that is led by a 44-year-old quarterback who hadn't played in 5 years. The spread was at like 13.5 for this game in favor of the Seahawks. And they only put up 18 points and win by 2 in weird, weird fashion. They're on a 4-game winning streak. They, like, even last week against the Falcons, the scoreboard says 37-9, but that was a 3-point game at halftime. Like, the Seahawks did not have double-digit points going into the half, I'm pretty sure. So, and you look at the Rams this week, put up 40 against the Lions and looked fantastic. And Matt Stafford, again, having an MVP type of performance. So it's hard to say that the Rams aren't going to win this division because the Rams are all that in a bag of chips. But with it being so close, you really don't know, but I feel like I got to favor the Rams right now. But Davante Adams, got to keep an eye on him. Came down with a hamstring injury, so that might throw a wrench in things, maybe. But you still got Puka, and that offense is nails. And plus, back-to-back games with 500 yards total offense and 40 points. First time that they did that, or the first time they've done that since 2000. Kurt Warner, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Marshall Faulk, the greatest show on turf. We're basically getting a 2.0 here. But NFC West, what are we looking at? Tuck, start with you again.
Why is the NFC West so damn competitive?
NFC West. I think I accidentally said North, but.
Why is the NFC West so damn competitive right now? Oh, my God. You see I thought the 49ers were going to be a little bit down because I thought they would, like, squeak in barely because of the injuries to Brock Purdy. But then Mac Jones decided to play, like, good Mac Jones, which is 2021, and keep them afloat. And then when Brock Purdy came back, they still managed to keep it afloat. They've had a few games where they're like, and they've been hit or miss, especially that Panthers game where they didn't deserve to win, but neither did the Panthers. But outside of that, they've been a very good team, and I see them being one of the teams that actually make it to the playoffs. The Seahawks look like killers on one hand and then have a game like they had just yesterday. And so that's what concerns me about them. And I think the overall best team right now in the NFC West is the Rams. But again, they'll have occasional blunders themselves. So it makes me wonder how good can any of these teams in the NFC West is. Like I said, the Rams are good, but then they'll have a game against like the Panthers where they unexpectedly lose where they should win. It's like just when I'm trying to take you guys serious, it's like the head and shoulders best of the NFC. You lose to the Panthers who just lost to the Saints, but I digress. But all in all, I think it's the Rams, Seahawks, and then the 49ers. But I think the Seahawks might be the most dangerous out of them all just because of the way Sam Darnold is playing, the way JSN is playing, like the best receiver in the NFL, and that defense is some good. But outside of that, I think the Rams are the best. But this is a very tight race.
It is very tight. CJ.
The Rams, like Tuck, that loss against the Panthers is really concerning. You know, it's like, you know, like I'm like, okay, so you are mortal after all. Good to know. But then there's the Seahawks. They win, but they win ugly. And we all remember what happened to Sam Darnold last time. He had to play a game that meant something this season, you know, against the Rams. Remember that? Where he put up a stinker. I mean, it was still close because the Seahawks defense did its thing, but he just imploded. You know, we were alluding, you know, we made references to what happened to him the previous season. And in justifiable fashion, I might add. But at this point, I'm going with the Rams personally. I also think the Niners are going to make it in too. I just think that Seahawks are probably going to be ahead of them. And I know the Rams, you know, they've already clinched. So, and I definitely think that they win the division. Seahawks and Niners right behind them. I think they all make the playoffs. At least they're all favored to, because the Rams, like I said, they've clinched. Seahawks are, they have an over 99% shot to make it, and the Niners are at 98. So I think they all make it. So there's that. But as a whole with the Niners, you know, they're powering through injuries. It's really impressive. You know, the Kyle Shanahan system produces once again. But the Seahawks, something about that last game where they defeated old man River himself, that's not good. JSN didn't even, I don't even think, had a target in the first half. Still very bad. And, you know, you have Sam Darnold that comes in. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got a threat in the backfield, got speedy Rashid Shaheed, underrated tight end A.J. Barner, and a star, you know, in JSN. What do you have, Phillip Rivers? You got Phillip Rivers walking on the field with his canes like, hey, listen here, Sonny. Back in my day, we didn't have hook and ladders in the Wildcat offense. We just handed the ball to LaDainian Tomlinson 20 times a game and let him win MVP. And they almost won. Phillip Rivers didn't even play that bad. He was serviceable. Which is why I think the Seahawks are a very good team, but, and I take them seriously, but once again, like, the Sam Darnold thing is still throwing me, especially after what we've seen.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how he performs in this big matchup at home. Last matchup I'm thinking of off the top of my head was that, like, big matchup at home that they've had was that game against the Bucks where Darnold had that weird pick to end the game, or that set up the Buccaneers for the win. Other than that, 27-19 against the Texans at home. But this is probably one of the biggest games of Sam Darnold's career coming up. So going to be a very interesting watch on Thursday night. We've been talking about the AFC South a lot. Phillip Rivers, let's just get into it. Texans and Jags win big in that, for the AFC South. Jaguars 48 points against the Jets. The Texans blow the doors open against the Cardinals. And then, of course, we mentioned the Colts losing a heartbreaking fashion against the Seahawks. And, you know, like Phillip Rivers, yeah, he's serviceable. But I think that last pick, that the last interception that he threw was a fucking balloon. That was a balloon. So I don't really know how far you can really get with Phillip Rivers at this point. He had a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, or not a rushing touchdown, pardon. But, like, he did enough, and he was able to ride the defense enough to get him into a spot to win. But I think it's really, like, it was awesome. It was so damn awesome to watch Phillip Rivers play football again. It really was. It really was. But the fact of the matter is, we're talking about a 44-year-old quarterback that's throwing balloons on 20-yard passes. Like, you really can only run the check down at this point. You have to rely solely on Jonathan Taylor and the defense more than you ever have at this rate. And with the injuries on the other side of the football, I don't think the Colts can come back and make a run at the division anymore. Like, you obviously said that last week, but this just really confirms it. Like, you really just had to watch a game of Phillip Rivers just to confirm what you already knew. Texans and Jags, the division comes down to them. It's their division right now. It's the Jags' division to lose. And unfortunately for them, if they didn't blow that massive lead to the Texans earlier this year, then Jags would have this division almost pretty much wrapped up, but they don't. They only have the one game lead over the Texans now. And both teams play one more time as well. Pardon me, that's a lie. They don't play again. But Jaguars, Broncos, Colts, and Texans for their final three games. On the Texan side, pardon me, Texan side, Raiders, Chargers, Colts. Who comes away with the division? CJ.
What a just ugly, ugly division, man. The AFC South always is. I mean, has it ever been an appealing division outside of, like, maybe when Peyton Manning was there? The answer is no. No, it was not.
What about Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson? You can't just say Peyton Manning and not say Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub.
Yeah, Andre Johnson, I'll give you. Matt Schaub was fine.
Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne on the Colts.
Yeah, Peyton Manning. It's all encompassing. Ooh, but Matt Schaub, like, come on. Look, Matt Schaub was really good. I'll give you
Andrew Luck.
Oh, Mr. Made of Glass, Andrew Luck? That same one that the Colts ruined?
That man had no line.
Arian Foster?
That's why their GM, that bastard got fired. But, okay, look.
We'll just take this time to name guys. How about that?
Yeah, maybe. But, ooh. I have a question. Do the Jaguars have to play the Texans?
No.
No.
Then the Jags.
They have to play the Broncos.
But still, I just, even if I don't expect them to win, what's the Texans' remaining schedule? Because the Jags got to play the Broncos, but who do the Texans have to play?
Texans play the Raiders, Colts,
Chargers.
One more team I'm clicking on.
Chargers, apparently.
Chargers, yes.
According to Tech. And, I don't know, because that Texans offense, I don't know what they're doing to C.J. Stroud, but I said it before, I'll say it again. He just has been able to recapture the magic of his rookie year. But that defense is going out there and just putting straight bell to everyone they come across. And their schedule, it's kind of favorable, even though they got to play the Chargers. Honestly, you know what? The Jags playing the Broncos, though, you know, give me the Texans, actually. That defense is terrifying, and I think they can win a playoff game or two.
Yeah.
Because, once again, this is probably the best defense. And I'm not saying it's the second coming, but the last defense I have seen that just went out and just put straight belt to every opponent was the Legion of Boom.
So, Jaguars, let's assume that they lose to the Broncos. And Texans, they're playing the Raiders. So let's assume they win. Both teams would be at 10-5. And the Texans would take over the number one spot because they are 4-1 in the division. Jaguars are 3-1 in the division. On top of that, the Texans would be 8-2 in the conference. Jaguars would be 7-3.
Yeah, then I'm going Texans.
Who's winning the division?
I still got the Jags winning it. I think they might just upset the Broncos. The Broncos might be feeling themselves right now, and then all of a sudden they face the Jaguars and they lose. I could see that. I think the Jaguars win.
That win streak's gonna have to come to an end at some point.
Either now or in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jaguars team has been putting, like, the offense surprisingly has been putting up some numbers in this recent stretch ever since they got blown out by the Rams 35-7. They put up 25 or more in each of their last six games. This is the Jaguars offense that we were talking about as throughout the season as extremely inconsistent. Trevor Lawrence's buns, this and that, but 25 plus points in their last six games, including back-to-back games where they put up 35 plus. 36 last week against the Colts, 48 this week against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets also just fired the defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks. But point stance, the offense is nails right now. Jaguars offense is nails. Texans defense is also straight nails. So, Tuck, anything else you wanted to say?
Outside of the Texans being the most dangerous team in the AFC, I think the Jags are going to pull this one out. The Colts are unfortunately going to miss the playoffs due to incompetent quarterback play, even though it was nice to see Phillip Rivers behind center again. But, yeah, it's just Jags and Texans as far as I can see it.
Like, you look at the Jags, final three games, Broncos, and then the Colts and the Titans. Texans, as we said, they got the Raiders, the Colts, and the Chargers. So, I think both teams are bound to lose at least – are bound to win or win – lose at least one in the upcoming weeks. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's just a quick look at what we're looking at for the NFL playoff picture right now. We'll probably end up talking more playoff picture later tonight when we do the recap of Steelers Dolphins Monday Night Football. Cool. We're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into that recap of the Monday Night game, as well as Week 15, top three, bottom three. This is the Lombruski Podcast.
Always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
The Steelers get the win on Monday Night Football. The Dolphins are now eliminated from playoff contention. Mark that one more team off the board to not worry about for the playoffs. Steelers now 8-6, still holding the reins on the AFC North as of right now, with the Baltimore Ravens still behind them by one game back. And, well, I mean, what's to really say about this game? It's the Dolphins in cold weather, and they played like it. They basically gave up in the fourth quarter as well. There was no urgency from them at all. And all around, you know, if you're Pittsburgh, it's a good win on primetime. That's all you can really say about it. Thoughts around the table.
AFC North, you go.
I'll go. I don't have much to say. Miami just Miami'd all over national television. Here they go. It's 3-7 going into half. They could stop Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers from going down the field in the second half. They don't do that. They give up a touchdown. Tua does nothing. They give up another touchdown. Tua, again, does nothing. They give up another touchdown. They, again, do nothing. And it's the fourth quarter. And now they want to score two late touchdowns. What? No. This game was it was decent in the beginning because the Dolphins defense showed up to play in the first half, but eventually if the offense doesn't score any points, and it eventually goes south. So I expected that. All in all, good win for the Steelers, unfortunately for my Ravens, but it's still a race in the AFC North and the Dolphins are now eliminated.
Yeah, and they were pretty much nipping at you guys' heels in terms of the playoff standings as well. So that's just, like we said, that's one less team to worry about now. You're not really worried about the Dolphins. You're really about just getting ahead of the Steelers at that point. CJ, your thoughts?
Well, just once again, Miami can't win in games below 40 degrees. McDaniel's playbook of foolishness and trickery doesn't do anything in the cold. We already knew this. And, yeah, this game just confirmed it. You got old man Aaron Rodgers turning back the clock. And don't let the score fool you. You might think, oh, hey, you know, it was only a 13-point game. No. The real score was 28-3. Sorry for any Falcons fans that got PTSD there. They only scored in garbage time. Like, these were garbage time touchdowns. They got obliterated. Miami just dressed up the score. Pittsburgh takes, they take a bit of a lead in the division there. Maybe the Ravens claw back. Maybe they don't. oh, like you said, Miami's eliminated. But for me, here's the million-dollar question. So Miami's eliminated, right? And we all know that their head coach, Mike McDaniel's seat, is pretty toasty. Does he get canned this offseason?
I thought your question was going to be, is he getting canned tomorrow, honestly? But
No. It's way too late. They're not going to do that. They said they wouldn't can him yet, essentially.
They said they were waiting until the end of the season. That's right.
So is he gone? Because a lot of Dolphins fans, the same ones that wanted his head on a spike outside of Hard Rock Stadium, are the same ones that are saying he was never the problem. It's Tua. He's such a good mind. Yeah, a good mind that has an abysmal record against teams above 500. I think he's like, what, 4-16 now? Like 4-17?
Something like that.
Has never won a game below 40 degrees, which, you know, so you can't really beat teams above 500 and you can't play in the cold. Well, that pretty much means you ain't winning jack in the playoffs since, you know, teams above 500 in January. So, I'm afraid not. Miami's out. Pittsburgh's playoff odds have jumped to 61%. Ravens' odds have fallen to 40. In the AFC, so, you know, you got the main seven teams, you know, Denver clinched. Then you got New England, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, LA Chargers, Buffalo, and Houston. The only other bubble teams left are the Colts and the Ravens.
Yep.
Lots can still happen, although I don't want to say it's pretty much locked up. The only thing that's not really is the AFC North. Because, look, Denver clinched. New England, even though they just lost, their odds are still above 99%. Jags are at 97. Steelers are at 61, which is why I said that. Chargers are at 93. Buffalo's at above 99. Texans are 95. Colts, even though they have a better record than the Ravens, they're only a 15% odds. And Ravens, of course, are at 40, as mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So, and when you look at the upcoming schedules for both sides, both pretty interesting. Of course, we've mentioned the Ravens and the Pats are playing next week on Sunday Night Football. Then the week after that, the Ravens also have the Packers. And that's prior to playing the Steelers. The Steelers have
the Lions
and the Browns. Cleveland.
My only hope is that Myles Garrett just wants to obliterate the sack record against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He only needs what, two more to break it? Because it's 22 and a half sacks, and he has 21 and a half.
He's at 22.
I thought he was I saw 21 and a half, but I don't know.
Let me check.
Google it. Appreciate it. But on a weird side note, all the haters who hate the expanded schedule will probably say, oh, if Myles Garrett breaks the sack record, you put an asterisk on it because of the amount of games. Counterpoint, if he breaks it before week 18, there is no asterisk. Change my mind.
There shouldn't be an asterisk.
I don't think that's really much of an argument to be had there.
He's at 21.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep seeing people saying this. I'm like, nah, man, if he breaks before week 18, then, like, I'm sorry. He's going to do it. Kind of like how TJ Watt tied it. Remember, you may remember Watt tied it, and everybody tried to say it gets an asterisk. You may remember, but he also missed a game that season. So I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Us NFL fans, we are a weird group.
Indeed. All right. Week 15, top three, bottom three. Oh, baby. It's crazy that there's only 3 weeks left in the season. I just hate it. Looking at top three, we'll start with the Bills. We talked about it. Getting the win against the Patriots, getting revenge against the Patriots. And, well, keeping the division alive, of course, is the biggest thing. And coming back down 21-0 and getting the win on the road against the Patriots. That's enough. Jacksonville Jaguars putting up 48 against the New York Jets. Trevor Lawrence popped off for 330 yards in this game. And Jaguars offense is starting to really get it going right now. We talked about it earlier as well. This Jaguars offense, since blowing that game against the Texans last month, they are on a 5-game winning streak. And every single game, they're putting up 25 plus points per game, including 36 plus in back-to-back games. Now they've hit 35 plus three times during this 5-game winning streak. And even before that, it's really 7 straight games of 25 plus points. If you go before that blown game against the Texans, just to emphasize like how good the offense is actually playing. And last team on the top three, the Denver Broncos, huge win against a NFC foe in the Green Bay Packers. And while it's a huge win, a great win against a Super Bowl contending team. And I mean, Broncos week in and week out, I mean, we keep saying like they're due to fall apart at some point, but still hasn't shown any signs of falling apart at any point at this rate. Defense still nails. They showed up in the second half. Yeah. Any thoughts from you fellas for top three?
We kind of talked about all of them, so
don't. Yeah, pretty much. No, we don't. Tough thoughts.
Bottom three. We had to put both the Bucs and the Panthers in this because that's just the state of the NFC South. You know, like the Bucs are at the top of the NFC South going into Week 15, going up against the Falcons on Thursday Night Football, lose to the Falcons on Thursday Night Football, blowing a lead in that one, letting Kyle Pitts basically just torch you in that game. Panthers now given an opportunity to A, get revenge against the Saints, and B, take hold of the division, and they blow it again against the Saints. Again, and the Saints are like depleted in the running back game, right? Or in the running back room right now too. So yeah, all around ugly. Ugly. And once again, the NFC, you know, coming into this season, it was the Bucs division to lose. It really was. Yeah. And you would have thought that they would have had a better record. Granted, injuries haven't helped that by any means at that point. And you would have thought the Bucs would be a 5-loss team, especially at this point in the season. And the Panthers, we've talked about it time and time again, you know, they show that they're going to be a playoff team or could be a playoff team. And then they have a stinker against the Saints.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll just rip through these last two teams because they're both pretty similar. It's the Bengals and the Raiders. Bengals get shut out by the Ravens. The Raiders get shut out by the Eagles. It's just, you know, it's for the Bengals case, it's worse when you factor in the Joe Burrow press conference where he sounds like a depressed puppy talking, sounding like Andrew Luck, really, which may as well be the same thing at that point, but not a great look, and ended up getting eliminated from the playoffs with this game as well. The Raiders, there's just no hope for them. There's just no hope, you know, and they had nothing in this game. Like Brock Bowers usually is like the bright spot that you can rely on for Vegas week in and week out. Doesn't matter how the team is playing, Brock Bowers is usually having himself a pretty good day. He was held to 28 yards receiving, like trash. Not saying Brock Bowers is trash, but that's just the Raiders had. All right, thoughts on bottom three?
Any shockers here?
No, not really.
They all deserve to be here. Not really too much to talk about other than the fact that finally the Ravens go on a safari hunt. I've been waiting for this since Thanksgiving. We're finally here. Thankfully, we got the job done 24-0. I'm happy. I'm content here.
Just a couple more things to add on for the Raiders real quick. They had 75 total yards. 64 of them were Kenny Pickett's passing yards, which means – He only had 11 yards on the ground in this game.
They had
here. We thought things would get better after they fired Chip Kelly. Oh, how wrong we were!
But only they only had 64 total yards.
Yep. Passing. They had like 75 total yards. Didn't even crack a buck on the day. Well,
yeah.
Peak Raiders, kids. Peak Raiders.
Sorry, Pete Carroll. You got to go. Sorry. This is unacceptable.
Pardon me. I misspoke. It's really 29 team passing yards because of the 35 yards they lost on sacks.
Well, that doesn't count.
That's where the 75 comes from. Because there was – and there was 46 total rushing yards.
Jeez. All right. Well, I thought you said there was so how many yards were there total? Because you said it was only 25.
Yeah, I misspoke because I was referring – I really should have been referring to the passing yards total as the one that was short.
They're going to ruin Ashton Jeanty, and there's nothing we can do to stop them.
Nine carries, 35 yards.
He has no line, no passing game, no quarterback. He has nothing, and he has to play with this. This is unfair. They're going to ruin his career. I'd ask for a trade if I could.
Trent Richardson moment.
He's better than Trent.
Seen a rookie year number is a little similar. But
don't look at the numbers. Look at his play and look at how far back his line is getting pushed. They're getting pushed back.
Yeah, that's what happened to Cleveland when Trent Richardson was there.
He shouldn't have been drafted.
No. It's malpractice. Don't get me wrong. I'm just, God forbid someone make a joke. You know what I mean? It's like, God forbid.
I just wish he was on a different team because I'm looking at this line that he's working with and they're getting pushed back. I feel bad for Geno Smith and Ashton Jeanty. Geno Smith doesn't deserve the disrespect.
Geno's been ass this year. What are you on about?
He's been ass, yes, but not his fans. He has had no help. I refuse to believe he's this much ass.
He wasn't really even that great as last year in Seattle, so do with that.
But he wasn't this bad.
Yeah, true.
I mean, like, not bad enough.
The decline was there. We saw the decline.
Like, Geno Smith was also throwing the ball 40 times a game in Seattle. Like, he couldn't have been bad enough where to have him throw 40 times a game. Yeah. Like, there were games, like, I'm pretty sure against the Lions, he threw the ball, like, 50 times last season.
Yeah. Last season, his TD to interception ratio was 21-15. Yeah, 21 touchdowns thrown 40 times a game. Yeah, it's not great. It's not great at all.
Now look at the game that he had.
I'll get there. I'm just looking at the base. But yeah, no. But yeah, he's still at like over 4,300 yards, so I'll give him that. But this year, 2,648 yards, 16 touchdowns, 14 picks. It's over. It's never been more over. Just, I don't know, man.
So he had 578 pass attempts. Going to divide it out right now. 34 times a game is the average, but give me a second.
That means there had to be some games where he threw it more than that.
Yeah.
Yes, that is exactly what average means.
Which goes to my point.
Okay, yeah, and also 21 passing touchdowns, so I don't know what you want.
Yeah, no, I know.
Anything else?
I had one more point. I was going to save this for the end, but we were looking at bottom three or top three. We were talking about Buffalo. You know, we talked about their game against New England, right?
Mm-hmm.
They should be happy. They should be proud of themselves, even though Denver has clinched a playoff berth already, and they're probably end up being the one seed. And even though New England does lead the AFC East, many people view Buffalo as the top dog in the AFC, you know, just because the pedigree, you know, because Josh Allen, because the experience. However, coming from a Pats fan who's looking at the playoffs from the outside, you know, just looking in for the past few years, I'll give them their flowers this game. But I also have a warning for Bills fans. We know the story, right? Every year you beat Patrick Mahomes in the regular season. You say, this is our year. And what happens? Mahomes takes your lunch in the playoffs. Now Mahomes is officially gone from your path. That also means, Bills fans, He's gone from your excuses. If you, through making the Super Bowl, if you do not win it this year, we're going to need to have a really awkward conversation about, at minimum, Sean McDermott. I'm going to save this for the Bills. Anything less than a Super Bowl victory, because you're going to have a playoffs with no Mahomes, no Burrow, likely no Lamar. Anything less than a playoff victory, or I mean a Super Bowl victory, is failure. Like I said, even if they go and don't make it and they don't win, even if just they go, yeah, failure. And anything short of a Super Bowl victory should result in Sean McDermott getting fired, because he's just not good. It is blatantly clear that it is Josh Allen carrying him, reminiscent of the way Aaron Rodgers carried Mike McCarthy.
And on that note,
that one there.
Well, we'll cap it off with that. That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Fumble Rooski Podcast. A new episode coming out on Tuesday at 7 or Friday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, Justin Tucker, CJ Medeiros, I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Friday. Over and out.